Thanks, folks, for tuning once again into the Wizards and Wise Guys Radio Hour. In this week's episode, we witness a mysterious squad of government G-men raiding a Chicago speakeasy with some most unusual backup.
Frankie Capelli sucked on his cigarette, shot a look back over his shoulder through the kitchen. Joey's place was packed. It was the first Sunday of the month, what they called Poker Night. On Poker Night, the warehouse speakeasy kept out the riffraff and brought in a proper band, plenty of horns and a real keen dame singing. It was a regular ring-a-ding-ding. All the real movers and shakers of the city showed up to drink and gamble. Frankie heard once they had traded hooch, information, guns, maybe even their dames. Frankie shivered. The air had gone still as the grave. The Chicago wind never died. He knew this for a stone-cold fact. He had been working at Joey Franconi's warehouse speakeasy 5 nights a week for years now. Frankie knew that the wind never vanished like this, especially on a November night with the streets full of ice. He was just about to head back into the kitchen when he heard a girlish giggle, tinkling like starlight in the slushy gray alley. Whirling his head around, he laid widening eyes on a curvy blonde, stalking through the slush, wearing only heels and a slippery velvet evening dress. She was whispering his name somehow. Sauntering closer, her hands drawing strange shapes in the air. Suddenly, Frankie couldn't move. Even when the crowd of goons followed her down the alleyway, he couldn't so much as whisper. The men clustered around the back door to Joey's place, their collars turned up high against the cold. They were packing serious iron and looked ready for business. The enchantress turned to face them. "Shake a leg, boys," she murmured. They poured into the kitchen, guns at the ready. She moved to look into the back door, and Frankie's gaze was forced to follow her. George Jones spotted them as they hurled themselves into the poker room and managed to bellow out, "Coppers! It's the coppers!" He went for his piece, but the invaders had the drop on him. He was the first one plugged and fell to the floor. Everyone leaped for the doors, trying to scatter while the invaders took cover behind the bar, firing at anyone who pulled a gun. Shots barked viciously, echoing in Frankie's tingling ears. The lead sax player on stage whipped out a strangely curved stick and aimed it at the kitchen. A sudden flash and boom, and the bar exploded into flinders, struck by a sizzling lightning bolt. Bodies flew, and at least one of the invaders hit the floor and went still, his Thompson clattering to the ground. That was when the blonde giggled again, and trilled more strange words in a lilting contralto. The wind began to pick up again, even worse than before. Ice pellets stung Frankie's eyes as the gusts increased. Her hair was whipped back from her pale, bare skin, and Frankie saw her long, tapered ears for the first time. A fae. She sang into the windstorm, calling out. Frankie's heart lurched in his chest when something answered. Oh. Back wings and glowing eyes, it seemed to assemble from the wind and shadow of the alley and hurled itself into Joey's place with a terrible, burbling growl. It was answered with a chorus of screams. Bullets whined off its scaly hide, drawing only sparks as it leapt for the sax player. The bandleader whipped a glowing sword out of a guitar case and managed to deflect its grasping claws. The terrible creature reared back from the bandleader's blade and spewed a torrent of fire across the stage. That brought more screaming, and lit the curtains on fire. The place began to go up like the tinderbox that it was. The blonde was murmuring something else now. Frankie felt tears leaking from his eyes as the nearest mobsters turned from the invaders and began firing into the crowd. The winged thing leaped onto the bandleader and sunk its fangs deep into his sword arm, and they collapsed in a tangled heap. It was pandemonium. Through the flames and cacophony, the invaders came stumbling into the alley. They were carrying their fallen companion, and Joey Franconi, who was hog-tied and bleeding from the mouth. One of the men grabbed Joey's hair and displayed his face to the fey woman. "Is this him?"
"That's him, copper," she cooed. "Don't let it be said that my people don't pay their debts."
She chuckled, and her skin seemed to shiver. Suddenly, she blurred and shrank.
and a snowy owl disappeared into the night.
Frankie collapsed in the slush of the alley, the enchantment on his limbs suddenly removed. Found himself facing several gun barrels. One of the men spoke, pointing a finger at Frankie.
You didn't see a thing, genius. And find yourself a different line of work. I see you again and we feed you to that thing.
The speaker jerked a thumb toward the remains of Joey's place, where the bat-winged horror had finished with the bandleader, and dived into the hapless crowd, severing limbs with joyous howls. They were packing Joey down the alleyway, towards a black car that pulled up with its lights off.
Who are you guys?
Frankie mumbled, and immediately regretted opening his mouth, expecting a bullet. The man was halfway down the alley. He chuckled and lit a cigarette, then flashed Frankie a badge.
Let's just say this was government business, kid.
Thanks for tuning in to another exciting adventure here on the Wizards and Wise Guys Radio Hour. Be sure to tune in next week when we'll find out what the G-Men wanted with Joey Franconi and how it figures into their war against the mob boss Al Capone. Until next time, kids, keep your guns loaded and your eyes peeled.